Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the latest episode of the online radio show from ASALA, South Florida. ASALA is the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, and I am your brand new host, Elizabeth C. Burroughs, and I am truly glad to be here, and I am really excited, y'all, because this is my first time hosting this online radio show, and I've got a very special guest today. If you are already a listener to the show, then you have heard her voice, you are familiar with her and her work, but hopefully today you will get a chance to hear more from her and hear more about why she's so important, not just to ASALA nationwide, but definitely to the South Florida branch of ASALA. We're very, very excited to have our special guest, Dr. Joan Cartwright, with us today. Dr. Cartwright, are you with us? Okay. While we wait for her to come back online, I'm going to go ahead and read her bio.
Oh, I was muted.
You were muted. So you are with us
all the time.
It does.
I am right here. How are you?
I am wonderful, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. This feels truly special to me. I just have to say that. So thank you. So can I go ahead and introduce you? Can I read your bio? Yes.
Well, they can read that. Then read that. I'm anxious to know what your questions are.
I do have a few. So first I want to tell you a story. So, you know, our paths have crossed a couple of times already in Delray Beach. So I am a Delray Beach native. And for those of you who may not be familiar, Delray Beach is the home of the Spady Museum, which is a partner in the show. So we're very excited for the partnership between Ocala, South Florida, and the Spady Cultural Heritage Museum. So I not only am from Delray Beach, but I've also worked in Delray Beach for many years up until very recently. And the very first time that I remember seeing you, you were singing. You were actually called up on stage to sing as Melton Mustafa was playing. And it was at the Arts Garage.
Yes, I remember that night.
Yes, and I didn't know you at the time, but you left quite the impression on me, I must say that, and quite the impression on the audience that was there that night.
So, I
just wanted to let you know that, you know, you make an impression when you take the stage. So I'm really, really glad to chat with you.
Well, thank you.
So I've read up a little bit about you to prepare for this interview. And first and foremost, I would like to start with your involvement with Ocala. So you are one of the founding members of the South Florida branch. So I'd like to start off by asking you how long you've been involved with Ocala in general and why you thought it was important that we get a chapter here in South Florida.
Wow. Well, I'll take you back to when I first learned about Ocala, and that was circa 2012-13, and I struck up a relationship with Karen May in the office in D.C., and she and I would talk, but I found Ocala through Dr. Malcolm Black, who is a jazz saxophonist, but he's also a 20-year veteran of the jazz band at Broward College. He was the band leader, and was the band teacher at Broward College. And so I had written several books on the history of jazz. And I was talking to him, and I said, I wish I could get my books into the schools, you know. And so he said, well, maybe you should start with Ocala. And I had no idea what that was. So he told me, just go to the website, which is ASALH.org. And I did, and I turfed around the site. And then I got in touch with the office and talked with Karen, told her that I was an author. And she invited me to come to the conference, which I think was probably in September or October of that year in Memphis. At the time, I was living in Atlanta, so I drove to Memphis. I liked driving, and I had a great car. So I just put my books in the back of the car, and I drove to Memphis and was part of, I think it was the 2014 conference. So I've been there for about 6 years, and I've been to 3 conferences, one in Cleveland, the one in Atlanta. I was actually a board member for the first year, and that's how I learned about the inner working of I left Atlanta in 2000, 15. I think I left right after. Yeah, right after the conference. And then I came back to Florida, where I had lived most of my life. Matter of fact, my grandfather lived in Delray. My grandfather and my grandmother, Mr. and Mrs. Cartwright. So anyway, I went. I met some great people. There were about 1,600 people in attendance. It was huge. And I sold about $400 worth of books. And that was a big amount of books that I had sold in one time. I said, well, this is good. So, and I only paid $50 for the table. You know, but then, of course, you pay your registration, you pay your hotel, you pay your transportation. So it's a costly event. But still, there were people interested in my books. So I've, you know, kept going, and at the third conference, that must have been Cleveland, I just decided that, no, it wasn't Cleveland, it was Atlanta, it was the second conference, because Charlene and I went to the, so it was the second conference in Atlanta, and the previous president, Daryl Scott, spoke. And then Susan Taylor from Essence Magazine spoke. And she and I had gone to grammar school together. And her, she was very inspired by a scholar. And I was too. So, however, I was thinking about, okay, I went to two conferences, that's enough. I'm good. You know, I don't have to do this every year. But I got back to Florida and I started talking to people like Charlene and Denny Zulu, Gene Tinney, and the people at Arlick, and the people at Broward Libraries. And it just started growing. You know, we had about 36 chartered members, and I would say that we have a core of about 20 that, you know, they show up to our lunch and learn, and they show up to other events. So anyway, it took about 2 years to get it off the ground. We had a great first president who was Dr. Tamika Hobbs Bradley Hobbs. I get those confused. And she's at Florida Memorial, which, by the way, is the only historically black college in South Florida. And she's teaching there. So she did a beautiful job of growing this chapter. And then Charlene swooped in and picked it up and just raised it from a toddler to, you know, a first grader. I put it, well, maybe... No, not first grader, third grader, because we're not third yet. So they did most of the work. I just kept, you know, the song going. You know what? I just kept the music playing. So
hey, that's a good role for a songstress to play in founding a local branch, is to keep the music going. So it sounds like really... You felt the need to stay connected with like-minded folks, and you found a group of like-minded folks here in South Florida, and there were enough folks to really warrant starting a branch of ASALA down here.
Well, it's a little more detailed than that. Do you know Gene?
Oh, I'm
Tinney?
Sure it is. Do I know who?
Do you know Gene Tinney?
Yes.
Very tall artist, Gene Tinney. You know him if you've seen him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he and his wife had been members of ASALA for years because both of them were professors at Miami-Dade, okay? And I think that his wife, both of them might have taught at FIU, too. But anyway, we would have meetings and we would discuss what is the relevance of Florida to Black history.
Yes.
He is a master. I mean, he is an expert on the state of Florida and the Black lives in Florida. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when he started painting the picture of the arrival of the Spanish and the contributions of the Africans as far as planting, as far as, you know, farming, and then the story of the escape to the Bahamas, the importance of Key West, St. Benoit up to St. Augustine and over to, you know, so he knew all of these, and we were amazed at the intricacy of Black life in Florida, which is very different than any other state in the Union. Okay?
Yes.
So that alone kept us, you know, interested that we were able to tell the stories of people here who made an impact around the world. Okay? So, yeah, Florida is the only state in the Union that has 6 branches of ASAWA.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Dorothy Fields tried to start the Miami branch 25 years ago, and it didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we gathered all of the historians that had migrated to Florida from New York and from California and from Virginia and, you know, from up and down the coast. People come here to retire. So you have like Sam Anderson and Rosemary Neely. These are people who have written very important books about the Black experience in America. And
yeah,
it just grew. We did the Lunch and Learn. We did we did an event at Broward College with the students. We did several events at Spady. And Spady became the locale of ASAWA when Old Dillard in Fort Lauderdale literally closed to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Charlene opened Spady to ASAWA. And so this is where we are. It's a relationship between people who are, we are determined that Black history be told in South Florida. That's it.
And just to clarify, ASAWA is not just for historians. This ASAWA can be for anyone who is interested and a fan of Black history.
Yes, a proponent of Black history. It could be a student of Black history. It could be a professor of Black history. It could be an author of a book about Black history. It could be a writer for a newspaper. It could be a white historian who wants to know more about Black history. Really, ASAWA is for everyone. And that is what a lot of people, you know, need to learn, that Black history is the basis of the history of this country. If it wasn't for Black history, there wouldn't be no history.
I love it. And that's a tweetable point right there.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question, steer you in another direction where I know you can talk. So we all know that African Americans have heavily influenced many different types of music here in America. But why is jazz music such a big deal in the context of Black history?
You need to read my book, a history of African American jazz and blues.
Jazz and blues. So jazz and blues, do they go hand in hand?
Okay. So if you look, if you want to look at it, okay. Steel Hollis and Spiritual and blues are the parents of jazz.
See, I learned something just then. Now I am a, so I love
blues,
jazz music.
Well,
I did not know that.
If you understood that it's just a matter of musical form, okay? If you understood music theory, you would know that jazz emerged from the blues. Blues is the mother of jazz, okay? And then that would make spiritual and Phil Hollis the father of jazz. You understand? West African call and response. All of that's
yes.
the father. But the blues gave birth to jazz. Okay. So, anyway, the problem with jazz is that, or sugar, the colonialists capitalized on the cultural production of the African in America. Now, this is a whole other show. This is not what we're supposed to talk about.
I know.
But when you talk about when you talk about ASALA, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, you cannot talk about that without talking about black music.
Black music
was the siren of freedom in this world, in this whole world. That's what black music is.
So, given the relationship of blacks to jazz music, and jazz music to black history, and all of that to life here in South Florida, we know that you actually founded an organization to help promote women in jazz, and that is Women in Jazz South Florida, though you promote women in jazz globally. So I think I was reading something as I was preparing for this conversation with you that said something to the effect of you feeling it was important to be able to own the story, not just the music, but to own the story when the stories are told. Can you tell me a little bit about that and why you founded Women in Jazz South Florida?
I founded Women in Jazz South Florida for the same reason that Carter G. Woodson founded ASALA, to get the stories of women musicians and then heard, and the music heard of women musicians. They have been sidelined and, you know, swept to the side, just like black people in America.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same paradigm. Okay. So what ASALA enabled me to do was focus on the historical content. And I wrote a little book called Blues Women, the First Civil Rights Workers. So now I begin to tie in the music, the voice of black women to freedom, to the fight for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is listen to Nina Simone, Bessie Smith, and Albert Einstein. You get the whole story. Just those three. But if you listen to Billie Holiday, Dinah Washington, and Ma Rainey, at the waters, you listen to these women's voices. They were the civil rights leaders.
Yes, yes.
Nothing happens without the ritual of sound, the ritual of music, the ritual of song. You understand? So you have a jazz album called Freedom, Now We Insist by Abby Lincoln and Max Roach. And then you have the Freedom Now Suite by Art Blakey. So freedom has been the theme of black people, but it's spilled over into the lives of white people, especially those on the lower rungs of society. However, the ones on the top of society, the cream of the crop, they recognize that jazz is a thinking man's music. These people were thinking, and you can't deny that. But there's so many other things that go along with that. The fact that Miles Davis was beat up outside of the club where he was just smoking a cigarette on break. You know, the fact that Duke Ellington had to purchase a train for his band to make sure that the KKK didn't burn. You know what I'm saying? So that's a whole and now these stories will be told at Spady in September when they will present an exhibit of my artwork of jazz musicians.
Well, listen, tell the people what they need to know. Tell us. Absolutely. Yeah. So you said in September. That exhibit is coming in September.
Yes, it is. We're working on it now.
Excellent.
So, yes, Spady is this location. Spady is this vortex for black history in Palm Beach County. There's no other place like it. Okay. The only bookstore that we had closed, there's another one I understand that another brother opened, but I haven't been there yet. But black history in Palm Beach County is very, very subtle. Very subtle. You know, it's like, y'all don't have no history. Yes, we do.
Yes, we have a lot of it. So much of it. For those of you that aren't familiar with the Spady Museum, you can visit their website, www.spadymuseum.com, and they are located in Delray Beach at 170 Northwest 5th Avenue. Please make sure that you check them out. And Dr. Cartwright, can you please tell us where we can find out more about you and more of your work?
Just go to drdivajc.com. drdivajc.com. JoanCartwright.com, too. And for women in jazz,
that's right.
WIJSF.org or .com.
And for the folks that want to learn more about Asala South Florida, you can visit asalasouthflorida.org. That is ASALH, southflorida.org. I'm so excited.
So do you mind if I play 30 seconds of my song, Feeling Good?
Please. You know, I got it queued up right here. Can I play
Feeling
it?
Good. I'd be feeling.
I'm gonna see them right now.
Feeling good. Feeling good. Feeling good. Like a soul that's lost the blue. And I'm feeling very, very good. Oh, at last, my blues pass. And I'm free from the blues that have tortured me, and I'm feeling mighty, mighty good. I've got my coat, I got my hat, I'm gonna
to shoulder. I hate, feel like spring. I can sing. They're gonna swing from now on and never lose the groove. And I'm shouting cause I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good, good, good. Feeling good. Like a soul that's lost the blues. And I'm feeling mighty, mighty good.
Thank you, Dr. Cartwright.
Yes.
I have enjoyed our conversation. This is fabulous. I appreciate you.
Okay.
And I appreciate you keeping me on track.
Okay, well, let's do it again until you get it, you know, get it going. Now, all you do is hit that red button up top. It says end episode.
All right.
And we're done.
That now.
And if you need to talk to me, you can call me back, okay?
Thank you so much. Take care, everybody.
Okay.